welcome everybody on a Thursday. Trash Talk Attorney Brosky is underway with yours truly. It's great to have you in here on the show this week. And welcome to another edition of Tiger Talk with Tyler. Joining me as always is Tyler Sawa. How are you today, Tyler?
I'm doing well. The Tigers are, 3-3 since last time we recorded? Got swept for Chicago and then had a sweep versus Kansas City.
Yeah, they'd be 3-3, and I'm pretty sure, I did the math last night, I think they are 500 in the month of June so far.
Yeah, I believe they are, and I believe since, like, May 5th, which is my birthday, they've have, like, a over 5 or 6 game slate of over 500 or something like that, which is really good baseball, obviously, from, you know, what happened in April.
Yeah, I was literally just about to mention that. We talked about it, I think it was the first episode that we did together. They had that really bad stretch in April where it was like a 21-game stretch where they were 3-18 or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, they were 9-24 or something like that.
They were really bad. Yeah. They were really bad. It was at the point where I was about ready to just check out by July. But they've been basically a 500 team after that, and it's been encouraging to say the least, hasn't it?
100%. Just from the last couple of years of Tigers baseball, I'd say from like 2017 to 2019, like, specifically. I mean, those years were rough.
Yeah, to sit here on June 17th, the middle of June, and we still have a lot to talk about with this team, I like it. I enjoy this. I enjoy it a lot more than being mentally checked out of Tigers baseball by, like, you know, after the trade deadline in, like, well, early August.
It's just so much more exciting because, like, now we're actually looking at guys that are going to be part of this team, where back then we'd always be looking at guys like, oh, we need their trade value to be up so we can get more prospects and deals and stuff. But now these are your core guys, you know, not all of them, obviously, but, like, this is your main – like, you have, like, a lot of your main core guys up in the big leagues right now playing for you and, you know, contributing to wins and stuff. So I think that's really exciting and why, you know, Tiger fans in general are just a lot more locked in compared to – those other years, like I mentioned, like 2017, 2018, and 2019.
There are a few guys on this team where the case with them is that we are going to look to probably trade them at the trade deadline. The name that comes to the top of my mind right away is Jonathan Scope. But you are correct that there are a lot of other guys on this team that we are expecting to be a big part of the future. That's actually a perfect transition into what we're going to talk about today. So, first of all, if you remember towards the end of last week's show, I said that I was going to try to get a guest this week. I also mentioned that as I say that, it's probably not going to happen. Obviously, it did not happen as I teased it, but it's all right, though, because we have a lot to talk about today with regards to the Tigers' future. Today is Thursday, Tyler. Tonight, Matt Manning, MLB debut, first career start in Anaheim against the Angels and against Shohei Ohtani. So today...
On YouTube TV.
On YouTube, yes. Is it YouTube TV or YouTube?
Well, I think both. Both,
oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. I had someone tweet at me and they're like, I don't have YouTube TV. And I'm like, I'm pretty sure it's just YouTube.
Yeah,
no. I mean, don't quote me.
Yeah, if you have YouTube TV, obviously you'll get it. But, like, if you don't have YouTube TV, you could just watch on YouTube, like any other video.
Yeah, it's Major League Baseball. I'm pretty sure that... like, streams it as, like you said, kind of like a video, and you can just watch the game from there. I'm hoping the broadcast crew is going to be the same from last year's.
I think it's going to be Scott Brown and Dan Plesac.
That's what I was hoping, because I enjoyed that crew last year.
They've done, like, every game so far, like, on the... because this is not the first YouTube TV game, like, in MLB this year, but, like, every other game has been them, so I would assume it would be them.
Well, it's going to be a good game to have on, quote-unquote, national coverage. You know, this is technically national coverage.
Yeah, they got a good game.
Yeah, it's Matt Manning's debut and Shohei Ohtani's pitching, and obviously Shohei Ohtani is Shohei Ohtani. I'm kind of terrified to face him tonight. I'm a little terrified. It was yesterday where he hit another moonshot. I think it was out of the Coliseum. Oh, yeah. I'm a little terrified to face Shohei Ohtani tonight, but Matt Manning's making his debut. I'm excited for that. We'll spend a lot of time on this episode talking about Manning's debut, what to expect tonight and going forward. And we'll also talk about, you know, we do have to talk about the struggles in Toledo and how ready he may or may not be for this situation, because it's a legitimate talking point with regards to Matt Manning. So we'll start with that, and then to close out the show, we'll go down to Erie. We'll talk about Torque and Dylan Dingler getting promoted, and those two joining a stacked Erie lineup, also headlined by Riley Green. How's that sound, Tyler?
It's very exciting, and it's just like, it's insane that they're already in Erie, like a month in a couple days and change, they're already in Erie. Like, with those, both those guys losing all their 2020 season, obviously due to COVID, and playing no minor league games, didn't even get the short season like, you know, most prospects do when they enter the draft. Even like guys like Mize and Riley Green, at least they get to play the short season in Connecticut, and then maybe play like the last month in low A ball, which would have been now in Lakeland, and at the time it was West Michigan. So those guys didn't even get that opportunity. All it was some alternate site games versus their own teammates in Toledo last year. That's all they got. And then this year they got thrown into the fire, you know, started off the season in high A ball, and you know, now, like I said, within a month and some change, they're already in Erie playing double A baseball, which is just insane. And it just shows the progression of these guys, and you know, they could be up sooner rather than later, and maybe even as soon as next year, potentially. We'll see.
When they got promoted, you texted me and you're like, man, we really messed up not getting to a West Michigan game.
We did.
We did, but at the same time, they flew faster than I think anyone ever expected. I mean, you mentioned the whole year off last year, basically, because of COVID. And they just, despite some early struggles with both of them, as they got it going, they really got it going. And now they're in Erie. We messed up a little bit not getting into a game, but I'm not complaining at the fact that they are both already in Erie with Riley
Absolutely
Green.
Not.
And
Absolutely
now,
not.
Now, and we'll talk more about this later on the show, but I do think that you are correct when you say now we're at a point where maybe, just maybe, they make the team next year. Perhaps not out of opening day, but
yeah, I'd be shocked.
September?
But like at some point,
yeah.
Maybe even earlier, like, you know how they have like that May cutoff, like the, the like the whole like start your clock, whatever. Maybe, like, just maybe, they, if they're ready, obviously, maybe, just maybe, you could see a guy like Torkelson be up by like middle of May or early June. I mean, that's just like, I think the earliest we'll see him, but like, it's very possible. I think
we messed up not going to a West Michigan game, but the second Torque and or Dylan Dingler and or Riley Green get to Toledo, we're there.
And Motown.
Well, obviously.
Yeah.
Well, obviously. But when they get to world famous Toledo, we are for sure there. I cannot wait to see Torque and Green and Dingler and world famous Toledo.
which is a lot closer for us too, because you know, Grand Rapids is about like 2 hours away, and
it's a long drive.
And Toledo's half of that, so it's only an hour away.
Well,
so, yeah.
Toledo could be a shorter drive if we pull a Derek Holland or Bo Burrows.
Or Matt Manning.
Well, Bo Burrows and Derek Holland, they were forced to fly the way that they were down there. Matt Manning just by choice was like, get me out of here, and just hit 100 on 75.
By the way, this is not true, guys. We're just making this
no,
up.
No, we're just making this up. When me and Tyler went to Toledo about a month ago, when we crossed the Ohio-Michigan border and we were getting closer to Toledo, someone was just zooming on the freeway, and they were just like going in and out in between cars and stuff like that, and they just whipped past us, and we made the joke that like, oh, maybe that's like Derek Holland because he had to go to Toledo for his rehab.
Yeah.
So we made that joke, and then
Manning lives in Detroit, so like he could have been on the same path as us.
Well, we're going to talk about this in a second here, but, you know, Bally brought up something that Tyler and I were talking about on this podcast throughout the first two episodes, the fact that, you know, maybe Matt wasn't the biggest fan of playing in Toledo while his buddies Casey Mize and Tarek Skubal were with the big league team. So Manning probably just tried to get out of Toledo and get back to Detroit as fast as possible. But Bo Burrows, there was a game a couple weeks ago where he was called up on like Sunday morning, and he
It was a Thursday game when Ronnie Garcia collapsed versus Seattle.
Yeah, it was a afternoon game. I knew that. I didn't know if it was like a Sunday or a Thursday or whatever. But yeah, so Bo Burrows got called up and it was like 11:30 in the morning. The game was at 1, so Tyler and I were texting each other, and we're like, oh, he's going to have to fly.
I was at the ballpark already, like, and I look at my phone, and I see Bo Burrows gets the call, and Ronnie Garcia is, like, going on IL. I'm like, oh, my goodness. Like, he's going to actually have to fly here. Like, I mean, he probably made it in time, but, like, he probably just made it, like, right before time. Like as the first pitch is going, probably.
Call the cops and be like, yeah, we gotta have Bo Burrows fly up here, so don't pull him over, please. This is a good excuse for why he's hitting 120 down 75 to try to get here as fast as possible. So that's a little backstory for what we meant by Bo Burrows and Derek Holland and Matt Manning flying in the cars from Detroit to Toledo and vice versa. But nonetheless, again, we've got a lot to talk about today with regards to the future of this team. So, Tyler, let's get right into it, and let's start with Matt Manning and his debut tonight. I'm excited, obviously, because this is Matt Manning. MLB Pipeline has him ranked as the 18th best prospect in baseball and number 3 in our system. I'm excited, but at the same time, I'm really nervous because we talked about this on the program throughout the first 2 episodes. Matt Manning, and I'm not trying to crap on the kid. Again, I'm really excited to see him tonight, and we are both really high on Matt Manning. But it's the truth. He did not look good in Toledo at all. An ERA over 8, and it was over 9 before his last good outing with the Mudhens. Whip of 1.55, an opponent average over 300, and he was allowing homers left and right to AAA batters. I think the exact number was 11. So the numbers weren't great, and if you actually watched a Matt Manning start, it wasn't pretty. The numbers weren't pretty, and the exact pitching product wasn't great either. We spent a lot of time on the first 2 episodes together, Tyler, talking about how Matt Manning really doesn't look even close to being ready for the big leagues. And now, ironically, here we are today on episode 3, getting ready for his MLB debut and his first career start tonight. And the Tigers, they were put into kind of a tricky spot, honestly, because Matthew Boyd went onto the injured list. Spencer Turnbull is still on the IL, and we really don't know when or how close he is to coming back. And because of that, the Tigers, again, they really had no choice. I mean, are you going to purchase a contract to Drew Hutchinson? With all due respect to Drew, I think everybody, including the Tigers themselves, would rather see Matt Manning. Regardless of how bad the numbers were, I think we would rather see Matt Manning than, like, a Drew Hutchinson get his contract purchased, you know?
Yeah, I think with that as well, it's, you have to remember, they had 2 rotation spots because they've been just doing the bullpen day for, like, the last couple starts. So they had 2 rotation spots, and they already had to purchase 2 other contracts because of how, you know, taxed the bullpen was. So I just don't know if the Tigers want to, you know, DFA another player to free up another starting pitcher when you already have Matt Manning on the 40-man roster. So it was a tricky situation. You don't want to rush the guy if you don't think he's ready. But, you know, the Tigers had their hands full, and they kind of had to make a situation. I mean, they had to make a decision, you know, do you want to DFA another player for another starting pitcher? Like, it would probably be Drew Hutchinson. Or do we just give Matt Manning the opportunity to kind of prove himself and see what he could do in the big leagues? It's, I mean, it was a tough situation regardless.
No, it was really, really tricky for the Tigers. Me, you, and the guy that I was going to try to get on as a guest today, Tigers Prospects, shout out to him. We were talking for hours, whatever night that was, talking about what exactly are the Tigers about to do with all the roster moves. Are they going to DFA this guy? Are they going to call up this guy? Like, we were just trying to be strategic and think about what exactly the Tigers were going to do. But, yeah, it was a really tough decision for the Tigers, probably, because, again, the numbers in the overall product wasn't good for Matt Manning in Toledo. But none of that really matters anymore. What matters is that he is here. And I'm just hoping that we have, like, a little fairy tale story on our hands here. And after some AAA struggles, Manning will come up here, and maybe not right away. I'm going to stress the heck out of patience with Matt Manning, as I did with Tarik Skubal and Casey Mize. So maybe not right away, but maybe as he gets more and more experience and more starts underneath his belt and more time to work with Chris Fetter, maybe he can figure it out, even after looking really bad to start the season Triple-A Toledo, you know? And getting to work with Chris Fetter is probably the biggest reason to do this, because that's what people have been saying on Twitter. You know, they're saying, oh, he's been so bad, might as well just call him up. Well, you can't necessarily do that, but now that it's happened and the Tigers were in a situation where they had to do that, that's probably the biggest positive to this. The fact that he gets big league experience and the fact that he gets to work with Chris Fetter, who we know has done wonders with guys like Mize and Scooble and Fulmer and Turnbull, and the list just goes on and on and on and on. So, though I'm a little nervous, I'm also very excited to see Matt Manning tonight and going forward. Yeah, I'm interested to see what Chris Fetter can do. I'm very much looking forward to Chris Fetter getting his hands on Matt Manning, in a sense, and trying to turn him into the pitcher that we think that he can be. So with that, Tyler, I'll throw it over to you. What are your thoughts going into Manning's first career start tonight? And are you as nervous as I am?
Oh, yeah. I'm super nervous for the start tonight for Matt Manning. But also, like you said, it's really exciting just to see, you know, him finally make the big leagues, because this is a guy we've kept tabs on since 2016. And I could say this was, like, legitimate, the first prospect that, like, I remember kind of just keeping up with from the day we drafted him throughout the whole process. Like, I could say that for a fact that he's, like, the first prospect that I actually remember him being drafted, and then just following him throughout, you know, his minor league experience. And has been a lot of up for Matt Manning, and this is really the first time he's ever had to go on through adversity and had struggles, honestly, since, you know, being, you know, not a high school pitcher anymore, you know, because obviously he was a high school draftee and not, he never attended college. So that's why the process for Manning has obviously been a lot longer than some of these other guys. But, you know, I'm excited, you know, and I kind of want to take away from what he said in his press conference, you know, meeting with, you know, the Tigers media members. And, you know, maybe he just picks up something from being with his guys again, like his boys, you know, Tarik Skubal, Casey Mize is up here. And, you know, now, I mean, we just saw those guys just pitch back-to-back days. We saw Skubal last night. We saw Mize 2 days ago. And now we see Manning tonight. So I think that's super exciting from a Tigers fan perspective, especially those two just pitching really well. Hopefully Manning can just continue and pitch really well tonight in Anaheim. I mean, I think you said it best. Like, if he's not doing well in his first couple starts, I wouldn't, you know, hit the panic button yet, but it's just good for him to kind of, you know, I guess, belt some experience in the big leagues. And, you know, maybe he does learn in the big leagues. Maybe he gets something here, and maybe, I don't know, like you said, a fairy tale story. Maybe he just turns it around here. And I think that'd be a really ideal situation for the Tigers, because they obviously need some guys who could eat some innings right now, just because of, like you mentioned, that rotation just being, you know, taxed and on the IL list, and then the bullpen being really taxed. So it'd be really nice if Matt Manning could eat some innings. But overall, I mean, this is a guy that you plan to be part of the future. This is a guy that you plan to be in your rotation for the next 5 to 10 years, hopefully. And this is the first MLB start for him, and I think it's really, really exciting. I'm super pumped to watch him and go against Shohei Ohtani. I mean, that's going to be really fun. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what to expect with him, though. Like, if he does bad, it would suck, obviously, but, like, it's not going to, like, be how his career goes. It's not, like, the only telling how his career is going to be if he struggles in the starts. And if he pitches well, I mean, obviously, it's a really good sign going forward. And if he could pitch well in his first career start in Anaheim, I mean, it's a very good start to his MLB career. So I'm excited. I'm really excited, but I am nervous at the same time. You can't ignore the struggles in Toledo. And I just want to see maybe – I want to see some confidence out of Matt Manning, because that was the big thing with him in Toledo, was the confidence. You know, he wasn't really trusting all his pitches. He wasn't going for first pitch strikes. I mentioned this, is he was falling behind in counts a lot, and he was falling behind in counts where it got to hitter-friendly counts. And when it gets to that point, it's really tough to be a good pitcher in the big leagues. And obviously, these guys are going to be more experienced. They're going to be a lot better hitters here in the big leagues with Anaheim compared to what he's seen in Toledo. So he's got a tough task, definitely. And we'll see how it goes. I mean, I would just assume, or I hope he has confidence tonight. If he has confidence tonight, his stuff is filthy, and that's never been a problem with Matt Manning. That's the reason why he's a top prospect, and he's really highly regarded in the league. So it's just really going to come down to confidence, and if he could attack these hitters and get some more pitcher-friendly counts, and we could really see his filthy stuff. And if he can get that stuff going, look out, guys, because you got a big league pitcher here. And I think he'll be a really successful big league pitcher. It's just going to be over time. And hopefully it's tonight, right?
I mean, you hope. if you remember, I just found the exact line for Casey Mize's debut in Chicago last year. 4 1/3, 7 hits, 3 runs, no walks, 7 strikeouts. If he could do something like that, I think that's perfect. I mean, you kind of mentioned it. You don't want to see Matt Manning get rocked tonight. But I also don't know what to expect. I really do not know what to expect. And that's why I tweeted it when we first started to get rumblings a couple days ago that Matt Manning could be the guy getting called up. And this is something I'm going to continue to stress on Twitter. And I'm going to constantly stress it right now, too. Patience, patience, patience. It takes a lot of patience and a lot of time, especially with these pitching prospects, to figure it out. Look at Mize and look at Skubal. You know, they both struggled a little bit last year. They both struggled to start this season. And now, Mize especially, he has really figured it out. And Skubal, he is starting to consistently get better and better and better with each start. Manning, especially, it's going to take a lot of time and patience with him because of how bad he looked in Toledo. But no, I'm still absolutely excited to see him tonight. And it is a good first test. I was not aware that California is his home state. Jason Beck of MLB.com, I think, is the one who tweeted that. So
he's from Sacramento.
Look at that. So he's making his debut in his home state. That's kind of perfect, I guess. No, I'm really excited, but at the same time, I am definitely a little nervous. Because, again, you don't want to see him get rocked his major league debut.
No, you don't. But no, you just don't. So hopefully he pitches well tonight, and, you know, hopefully he proves himself. He's like where he could be good enough where he goes, he puts the Tigers in a situation where he doesn't have to be sent down back to Toledo, and he could just stay here in the big leagues. That would be just really ideal.
I think that's the best case scenario. You're put into a situation where you have to call Matt Manning when you normally would not have even thought about calling him up. And he pitches so well or shows some strides in his game where you go, okay, let's keep him up and see what he can do going forward throughout the rest of the season. That is absolutely the best case scenario. Unless, obviously, he just pitches out of his mind, and that would be like the magical fairy tale, I think, here. Yeah. But to go into another talking point with Matt Manning, though, Tyler, I mentioned it earlier on the show, but Bally Sports brought up some really, really good points when they were talking about Matt Manning getting called up. And it's stuff that we have mentioned on this podcast before. And this was mainly your point that you brought up to me, so I'll let you kind of explain. But it seems like other people, including Bally Sports, they've kind of noticed the same thing that you have.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to say it was like anything against the, like, the city of Toledo. Like, I don't think that's the problem with Matt Manning. I think it was
we are not hating our world famous Toledo. Let's get that straight.
No, like, I have zero doubts it was anything about the city. Like, I don't think it's anything about the city. It's more about him playing with his teammates. Like, those guys were the guys he essentially, like, grew up with. I mean, you know, obviously, like, in the system. Like, guys like Mize, guys like Skubal and Fieto, obviously, he's hurt right now. But, like, those were, like, the main core of guys he kind of just grew up with. And I think him seeing, you know, Mize and Skubal have, you know, a lot of success in the big leagues right now. And, you know, they were kind of in the same path last year. They were both at the alternate site together. And, you know, Mize and Skubal skipped Triple-A. And, you know, obviously because the missed season, they would have played there last year. But there was no minor league season. So, I mean, they got to skip Triple-A and go straight from Double-A technically to the big leagues. So I think Manning just kind of seeing, you know, their, you know, track path, is, you know, he starts to press a little bit. He's panicking a little bit. He's like, man, I mean, you know, I was drafted 2 years before these guys, both Skubal and Mize, and they're already in the big leagues, and they're really successful. And, you know, I'm here in Toledo right now in AAA ball. And I'm not pitching well right now. So I think it was starting to get to a point where maybe he started pressing a little bit too much and just thinking too much, where at the end of the day, you just kind of got to put all that aside, put it to the side, and let us like media people and fans do the talking. And it's your job to just kind of be a pitcher and kind of put that stuff all to the side and, you know, really just kind of have confidence in yourself. Like, if it was a rough start, you forget about it. You go into the fifth day and you go pitch well. Like, that's how your mindset should be as a pitcher. Obviously, a lot easier said than done. And, you know, him probably just seeing Skubal and Mize succeed and him struggling a little bit in Toledo, it had to be tough on him. Obviously, mentally tough for him. I definitely feel that, just because, you know, it's like, imagine putting yourself in a real life situation. It's like all your friends are really successful right now, like doing big time stuff. And let's say you're still in college and you're not finished. Like, you know, it's tough. Like, it's just, it's tough in general. Like, I feel Matt Manning in that perspective. And I know a lot of people could probably feel him in that perspective as well. So, I mean, I feel like it just came to a point where he was just pressing too much and just didn't really have much confidence in himself. And I feel like now that he's, you know, with his old teammates, like the guys he grew up with basically, and the farm system, I think it's going to be a lot more confident for him. And he's going to want to pitch well, where, you know, he doesn't have to go be back down there, because the end goal is to win a World Series, right, with these guys. Torkelson even said, he goes, I'm not here to win minor league games. I'm here to win a World Series for the Tigers. And I know all these guys have that same mentality. Mize, Skubal, and Manning. I mean, they want to win a World Series here, and they want to do it together. And Manning feels like almost like he just didn't want to be in Toledo, and he wants to be here in the big leagues and contribute right away. Because even in spring training, he went to AJ. He goes, I think I'm going to be one of the 26 best players, and I'm going to make this roster. Obviously didn't do that, but I'm just excited to see what he could do, because we've seen the stuff, and, you know, maybe not the most big league experience, but we've seen small sample sizes in spring training. I mean, he struck out Bryce Harper. He's had good starts in spring training versus big league hitters. So I don't think it's going to be a problem with him in the long run, but I think him being with his teammates, with Mize and Skubal, and just contributing to the big league squad, I think it's going to be a big confidence booster for him. So I'm excited to see what he could do here, and I feel like his confidence is going to go a lot more up, you know, being with the big leagues and with Mize and Skubal.
Again, I definitely think that's kind of the hope with Manning. And you know what? Maybe being up here with Mize and Skubal and his buddies will actually make a difference, because when you first brought that up to me about Manning a few weeks ago, I thought about it, and I'm like, Tyler might be onto something here when he mentioned that. And having other people, especially Valley Sports, talk about that same exact thing, it might be legitimate. And if Manny can come here, and again, maybe not right away, but if he can come here and kind of go the Mize and Skubal route and just get better and better and better with each start after struggling so much in Toledo, that would be really, really encouraging for this team and its future.
All right, Tony, put yourself in his shoes real quick. Let's say your two buddies, three buddies that are working at a job together at a hierarchy than you are at whatever point you are in your life, whatever, and they're succeeding so well, and you're just at the point where you're at a job where you don't know anybody, and you just feel like you're wasting your time. Like, it has to hurt immensely, right?
No, that has to stink. That has to really stink. And I can understand if there's some frustration there with Manning, especially because he was struggling so much, you know?
And it's not a good mindset, obviously. Mm-hmm. Like, you're supposed to put that stuff to the side and just kind of pitch. I'm not encouraging it, but, like, he's human. He's human, and he's going to, like, he's gonna have those thoughts as well.
He's young, too. He's one year older than me, and I'm 22, so.
Yeah, exactly. So it's just, you know, it's tough. So I'm excited to see what he could do in the big leagues. This is not probably the way Tigers fans want to see him make his big league debut with all these injuries.
No, yeah.
But, I mean, it's here, and we kind of just got to embrace it now and just see what he does, right?
Yeah, I mean, you can only bring up the AAA numbers so much. And for as much as we mention the AAA numbers, we should also mention the other numbers in the minor leagues. I mean, what is it, like a career ERA of like around 3 in the minors?
This is his first time he's ever gone through adversity, ever.
Mm-hmm.
Since like being, you know, drafted by the Tigers.
Mm-hmm. And specifically in Erie, he was really good, right?
Yeah, he was really good in Erie and like West Michigan and Lakeland. I mean, he was dominant. I mean, even high school, like being a high school draftee, like he's, I mean, as far as the baseball side, I don't know what he's had in his personal life. I'm not going to go as far as that, but like he just hasn't gone through much adversity as far as the baseball side. He's just always been dominant. And this year's kind of been the first side of adversity for him. And, you know, we'll see how he fights through it. I mean, obviously, his last start in Toledo was really encouraging, and let's see how it progresses from now. Obviously, now being the big leagues, I guess it was, I mean, I guess enough for him to get the call, right?
Sometimes, regardless of the sport, sometimes a change of scenery really helps players out. Now, usually it's someone getting traded or released and going from one city to another. Well, yeah, I guess it's kind of the same thing here, but like, you know where I'm going with this.
Yeah.
But in baseball, it's obviously a little different, you know, in this situation where he's getting called up to Detroit. But it's still kind of within the same realm. Like, sometimes a change of scenery works. And the point we're trying to hammer home here is the hope is that despite AAA struggles early this season, maybe the change of scenery can absolutely help him. And
Tony, do you buy into players like, how do I say this? But like, they like want to rebound, or like when you see another pitcher do well, like you want to like outdo him or like do similar stuff, right? Like your teammates help you off.
I don't know Matt Manning personally. Like, I don't know what's going on through his head, but I'm sure maybe there is like a little bit of healthy competition there.
Like, no, that's what I'm saying. Like, yeah. you build off your teammates. Like, yeah. If Mize pitches well, oh, I want to go pitch
well,
too. I want
to go pitch that well. Exactly.
That's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. And, like, in Toledo, no offense to those guys, but a lot of those guys are guys that were in the big leagues that just didn't really have much success, and now they're pitching AAA ball. Like, the depth in Toledo right now, as far as the starting pitcher-wise, is just not really good. So, like, Manning's not having, like, those teammates to kind of, like, bounce off of. Like,
he's got Drew.
Like, that's, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. He doesn't have,
no,
like, a
I got
team.
You.
Like, I don't know. I believe in momentum. I believe in momentum 100%.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like if one guy does well, like, oh, I want to go help the team win another game in a row. Like, Scoobal just pitched well. He won us a game yesterday, and my, you know, won a game the other day. I want to go pitch another game. I want to go win a game for us now and make it a four-game winning streak.
No, I think there is a little bit of maybe some healthy competition in there. And I think that's a really good point to kind of tie back to our other original point about being up here with his friends, and compared to Toledo, where the quote-unquote healthy competition would be with Drew Hutchinson.
Willie Peralta, Drew Hutchinson, and who else in that staff? Pinto. Like, oh, who the hell is in that staff? They do a bullpen day every other day now, essentially.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And
Ian Kroll.
Oh, that's our first Ian Kroll mention. And
Lock St. John.
Hopefully our last Ian Kroll mention. But I think I also want to mention this with regards to Manning getting called up. Something that we've mentioned with Mize and Scooble before is the fact that they have gotten better as Jake Rogers has caught them. Manning has also got some connections with Jake Rogers. And though Eric Haas is catching him tonight, maybe having a guy like Rogers here too will also help him, you know?
He's familiar with Eric Haas as well, too. I mean, his brief stint in Toledo, so.
Yeah.
So, there's that.
I'm excited. I'm a little nervous, but I'm very excited. But to close off the Matt Manning talk here, Tyler, you have seen more AAA Matt Manning starts than I have. Just give us a quick little 2-minute scouting report on what to expect from Matt Manning tonight and going forward.
It's going to be either one of the two. If he attacks the strike zone and gets into pitcher-friendly counts, expect a lot of strikeouts. Like, he has Tarek Skubal's strikeout ability. If he falls behind in counts, expect Tarek Skubal bad starts. Because I think they're very similar in a certain way. I think Manning's mechanics are a little better than Skubal. I think his potential is honestly better than Tarek Skubal as well. But I would say their good and bad starts are very similar, and how they get into those situations are very similar. If Manning is, you know, has his command going and he's getting to really good counts, I mean, he's really filthy. His stuff is really filthy. And, you know, with Skubal and Manning, their, you know, pitch mixtures, it's kind of similar as well. They both have, like, two really nice pitches, and then the third and fourth stuff are both kind of processes in the making. And with Manning, I think he has the more ability to have a better pitch mix going forward in his career than Tarek Skubal. But I think they have very similar problems. You know, they both give up the long ball a lot when they're struggling, and when they're going, the strikeout ability, swing and miss stuff is really high for both those guys. So I'd say they're really similar players to a certain degree. I just think Manning has better mechanics and has better pitch mix and will have better pitch mix going forward in his MLB career. So I think any Turk's Global start you watch, I think you could kind of almost expect that from Manning. If it's either going good or bad, it's going to be really similar in my opinion.
I'm going to continue to preach patience. I mentioned earlier on in the show Casey Mize's debut in his line.
Well, Casey Mize is a different animal, dude. He has like a five. He has like five different pitches. He's filthy, man.
Mize, Manning, and Scooble are three completely different pitchers, but I'm just bringing up their lines as just like a reminder to be a little patient. Now, Mize is obviously different because he was the number one pick in the draft.
Yeah.
But Scooble, his major league debut in Chicago, this is a perfect example about patience. Scooble's debut in Chicago, August 18th. 2 innings, 7 hits, 4 runs, 1 walk, 1 strikeout. Just give it a little bit of time and see and look where Scooble is now.
I mean, even Mize, with all the stuff we're talking about, all the hype around him, and he deserves it now, but, like, he'd gone through adversity, too, for the first time when he got called up in the big leagues. Like, his first start was, you know, pretty solid, but other than that, like, didn't really have much quality starts. Even in April this year, didn't have much quality starts. Spring training was not really good either. So, like, that was the first time Mize ever gone through adversity, and he has one of the most filthy pitch mixes in the big leagues.
Mize almost didn't make the team.
If Turnbull wasn't on COVID, he probably doesn't make the team.
It was one good start in his final spring training start, and that was the one where I think that kind of convinced the Tigers to just bring him on up.
Tigers had no choice almost at that point because Turnbull was on COVID list and he was going to be out for a while. So, like, they just kind of had no choice. I mean, whether Mize pitched well or not, he was going to probably get it. I know AJ said, you know, he really needs a star, and he did. But I think that was more of a confidence thing than ever. I think Mize was going to make the team regardless, probably, after Turnbull.
Go Matt Manning. Go Matt Manning, man. We're going to be rooting for you. And I'm just really, really excited to see another top prospect for this team. I'm looking forward to tonight. Hopefully it goes better than what I might be expecting now.
Oh, so you're not expecting a good start. I'm not against you. I'm not going to say anything.
Like, I hope I'm wrong, but I'm expecting
what's the final line prediction?
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
No Trout in the lineup. So
I know. I'm really hoping he at least gets through 4 innings. That's my hope. Fair. Yeah.
That'd actually be, like, really encouraging.
That'd be really good. Yeah, if he can get through 4 innings, I think that's a good start. And if he can keep it down to below 3 runs, I think that's also perfect.
Yeah. Do you think they're going to put him on a pitch count or inning count or anything like that today, or is it just full go?
No. If it was me, I would say we'll kind of reevaluate things inning by inning. I think it just depends where his pitch count is. I mean, if he's pulling, like, a Tarek Skubal and he's at, like, 50 through 3 innings, then maybe you get someone warming possibly to go in for the fourth. But
Like, what do you think the pitch count number is going to be for him today? Like, do you think they're going to give him the 100? If he's doing, like, decent, I guess. Like, because, you know, you won't pitch 100 pitch if he's struggling.
No, it really depends on how he's looking. It just really depends how he's looking, honestly.
So you think they would give it to him if he's pitching well, though?
I don't know. I don't think they will. I don't think it's going to be a full go tonight unless he's, like, going magic.
That's what I'm saying. Like, if he's just, like, really well, like, and
well, then like, I guess you say screw it.
Yeah, like, so, like, does he get the full go? Like, does he get it? Like, does he
full
does he
go get, from a standpoint of,
like, does he get the lineup around 3 times potentially?
I don't know.
If he's going, you know, obviously.
I don't know about 3 times through the lineup. Maybe 2.5, I would say.
Okay.
Maybe.
Okay. We'll see.
What's your ideal line tonight for him outside of going bonkers?
If he goes through the lineup 2 times, that's very, very encouraging.
Yeah.
Like, very encouraging. And, like, is that a good pace and, like, not too many hits and runs against him and the walks are down? Oh, that'd be encouraging. Something I want to see from him is limit the deep ball this evening. And I want to see very limited walks. Like, if he's walking two or more guys, I hope that's not the case. I just want to see him pitch a clean game. You know, if he gets hit around, it's one thing, but I just do not want to see walks. Walks piss me off more than anything. So, just don't want to see too many walks and just kind of attack hitters and get into pitcher-friendly counts. You know, it's just kind of like, I'd say, the Whit Merrifield and Fulmer battle. Like, if Fulmer walked Merrifield, I would have been more pissed than Merrifield hitting that double, honestly. Because I know Merrifield hit the double, and it made stuff scary. I'm not doubting that. Whatever. But I'd rather have that than a walk, because walks just piss me off. Attack the guy. Attack the guy in this situation, and I just want to see Manning kind of attack tonight.
Anything above two or three innings, anything below three or four runs, and then at least a couple strikeouts, and I'm good.
He has strikeout stuff, so
I'm not worried about that. Yeah, that's why I would still like to see a couple strikeouts, though. If he can get a few major leaguers to swing and miss, especially this Angels lineup, who's got, you know, some big time names, and, you know, Rendon and
Rendon playing? Because I know he's hurt, but I don't know if he'll be in the lineup tonight.
Well, let's look it up.
I know they said they want to avoid the IL stint for Rendon, but I just don't know.
I mean, I'm not gonna lie to you, I haven't watched a lot of Angel baseball since Trout got hurt, but let's check it out. So, Angels lineup. Yesterday in Oakland, I do not see Rendon, so maybe he is hurt. But they still have David Fletcher, who is a very sneaky, underrated player. They still got J-Up and Otani and Max Stassi. Oh, my. I did not know he was doing that good.
He's doing well. Some people think he's a top five catcher in the big leagues right now.
He's playing really well. Even Iggy's got some nice
numbers. I was just going to say, Jose Iglesias has been pretty good for this team as well.
Jared Walsh, he's got some nice numbers. So... They got some ball players on that team is the point here. And if he could get a few to swing and miss, that's perfect for me.
I would assume Otani's probably not going to hit today. Probably just going to
pitch. What do the Angels do when Otani pitches? Does he hit too? Like, he did that one game when they were on ESPN.
I think he usually just pitches if he's just pitching. And then he'll probably be in the lineup tomorrow, like, as a hitter.
I know they were at a point, though, where he was hitting and pitching in the same game.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like a National League game, essentially, at that point. But, like, that's why I was surprised that Otani didn't sign with the National League team, honestly, like, back then. I thought he was, because it just made so much more sense.
It was a big deal, the Otani sweepstakes back in the day. And it was
Living up to it, man, because he looked like it didn't look like it was going to work at first, because he was struggling. But now, man, he's really fighting for MVP.
If not for Vladdy, he would obviously definitely be probably MVP favorite, but that's neither here or there. Go Matt Manning. Go Tigers. Let's rock Otani tonight.
Let's rock Otani, man.
That's what I'm talking about. All right, speaking of rocking people, Torque and Dylan Dingler were rocking people in West Michigan, and now they are in Erie. That'll transition us into our final topic of the day. It was last Friday, I believe it was, where Al Avila spoke to the media at Comerica Park and mentioned that the team is starting to, quote, have discussions about promoting Dingler and Torque. And a few days later, Sunday night, boom, Torque and Dingler, they're getting promoted to Erie. They're joining a lineup with Riley Green. And speaking of excitement with young guys on this team and this organization, that's pretty exciting, Tyler, isn't it? To see Torque and Dingler get together with Riley Green and Erie.
Quite exciting. And don't forget my boy Andre Lipsis.
Don't forget players in Erie. Boy. Don't forget Josh Lester.
Josh Lester's actually playing really well this year.
He had a walk off in their debut games.
Yeah, Torque and Dingler's debut. Yep. And then we got Ryan Kreidler at shortstop. We got a shortstop.
That Erie lineup is stacked outside of the big three, but no, Tyler, talk about the big three a little bit. How encouraging is it to see Torque and Dingler with Riley Green right now in Erie?
Oh, it's so fun. It's so exciting. It reminds me of 2018 when, or is it 2019? So, yeah, 2019, sorry. In 2019 when we had the pitchers, when we had Mize, Manning, and Fajardo and Scooble, they were all down there. They were, like, lights out every game. And that's why I kind of was going back to the Manning point where, like, he could bounce off his teammates. They were all bouncing off each other. They were all pitching really well down there. And this kind of reminds me of it from a position standpoint, positional player standpoint, I should say, with Riley and Torque and Dingler, because this is, like, your next core of players. Like, that was, like, we'll say the first core players, and this is like the second core players of like the rebuild. And these are like, I almost want to say like the finishing touches of like the prospects almost. Maybe the guy you draft this year is part of that conversation as well, but I think these three guys are like the main, you know, core of guys like to come up, and when you're expecting to compete with the first core guys you met, like we have like Manning, Mize, Scoobal, and hopefully Fajito could recover and maybe be part of that team.
He's got to get healthy.
But like, you know what I mean? Like, you know, now we're getting that second core of prospects, and that's like supposed to be almost the finishing touch to the rebuild. And then obviously you're going to just fill out those positions with free agents and some other guys you have already from, you know, Toledo and what you have already in the big leagues right now. So that's really exciting. So them all together are going to be super fun this year, and hopefully they produce a lot of runs the rest of the way. And Torque had 2 hits already in the second game. So I'm not concerned about this guy at all. This guy's a freaking big league player. He's going to be a really good player for the Tigers down the line, and it's so exciting to go along with guys like Riley Green and, you know, Dylan Dingler. Dylan Dingler is kind of like the Manning Mize thing. Like, you know, they've always been together, but these guys literally been always together. You know, they were drafted in the same class, the alternate site together, West Michigan at the same time, get promoted at the same time. So I'm super excited for both these guys as well, just making the jump to Erie and seeing what they could do for the team. You know, if they contribute right away and contribute for the rest of the season, it's going to be really encouraging for this Tigers rebuild. And we'll probably see those guys, hopefully, if they can contribute right away and, you know, just play well the rest of the season, we could see those guys in Toledo probably starting the season next year, which is obviously just a step closer to Detroit. And then Riley Green's obviously already been there since the beginning of the minor league season in May. And we've talked about this guy. This guy's unreal of the track history of him already being in Erie and already being on track to probably make the Toledo roster at some point this season, which is just absolutely insane for a high school player and being only 21 years old. So at the time of, you know, this and the time we have all three of them together, enjoy it because it's going to be really fun, you know, just seeing those guys all together, playing together, and hopefully very soon, and maybe as, like I said, as soon as next year, potentially, we can see all three of those guys in the big leagues together with the Detroit Tigers, and I can't wait for that day.
Torque was 2-for-4 last night with 2 RBIs in his second Erie game, as Tyler kind of brought up, but Tyler brought up a really good point about how this is kind of like our offensive core, like the biggest offensive pieces that this team will have now
from the development standpoint.
Yeah. And depending on who they take third overall next month, which I can't wait for draft talk, by the way, I'm starting to get into mock draft season for baseball. I'm starting to get a little excited, maybe too excited for MLB draft season, but we'll get to that in the coming weeks before the draft next month. But whoever you take third overall in next month's draft, if it's an offensive player, I do think that will be another big piece to join with Torque and Dingler and Riley Green. But no, seeing these guys together in Erie, I think it's a good comparison that you made to, you know, seeing Mize, Manning, and Scoobal with Erie back in 2019. And it's going to make Erie, in a way, must-watch TV if you have the minor league pass. Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's super exciting, obviously, and I think this could hopefully, if everything goes well, this could be the last draft for the Tigers where, you know, where you get your main core of players for, you know, when you're expecting to compete, obviously, again, for division titles and, you know, World Series, hopefully.
I was actually just thinking about that yesterday. It's really ironic that you brought that up. I was thinking about this yesterday during the Tigers-Royals game. I was thinking to myself, as the Tigers were making that late comeback, you know, it was in the seventh inning when they put up a 3-spot to take the lead. I was thinking to myself, if this game was in, like, 2018, 2019, and maybe even 2020, like, they would have just folded. They would have rolled over, and they would have just packed the bags and, you know, went on to Anaheim. But to see them fight back the way that they were, it made me think about possibly how the tanking days for this team might be over. I mean, I brought this up to you yesterday during text. I'm going to bring it up right now. I'm always watching MLB Network. That's my go-to channel in the summertime. I was watching MLB Central a couple days ago, and it was Dan O'Dowd who mentioned, they were talking about the whole Casey Mize glove thing and how, honestly, this is my words, not theirs, how stupid it was that Mize had to change his glove.
Okay, my words, and how stupid it was, too.
Yeah, how stupid it was because he had to change his glove because it was too light or whatever. But that's neither here nor there. Before they switched segments on MLB Central, Dan O'Dowd brought up how the Tigers are starting to come up on the rise a little bit and how AJ Hinch has changed the culture this season. I thought about that, and I was watching the Tigers yesterday, and I thought to myself, the tanking days might be over, and we might be getting to a point very soon where we can start expecting more and more and more and more wins. I mean, what do you think about that really quickly?
Yeah, I know. I definitely think the expectations definitely rise as soon as next year, and I think I've told you this. I think the clock like really starts on Alavila and AJ Hinch next year. And I think next free agency is going to be really crucial for this team, and it's going to be an offseason. I really believe that they'll spend some money and, you know, get some players and get some players for the long term rather than just getting these 1-year deals and even 2-year deals. I think this could be the offseason where we see some like bigger contracts with the Tigers, and you know they kind of fill in the positions that they're lacking right now. And, you know, they just got to fill out the holes. And that's the year we've always expected for the Tigers. I remember back, I think it was in November. I remember we were talking about the Lions and Colts game back in November once they hired AJ Hinch. The year that we expect for the Tigers this year, at least I did, and I think you agreed with me on this was going to be a played out year to see what you got going forward and who you could build around off and what you need to replace going forward. I think that's what it's exactly been this offseason. I mean, this season so far, and what you're going to fill out in the offseason. Like, let's just throw an example. Like, the Tigers really need a shortstop for the long run right now. I think that could be a position where they just notice that they don't really have a guy in their, you know, system, and they're going to have to fill out that position via free agency. Maybe another bullpen arm. Like, this is a year where you have to tell what we need going forward and how we're going to have to fill that out via free agency or if we have that via the farm system. And I think we're kind of seeing that going right now. And obviously, we won't know until the actual MLB offseason hits and what the Tigers actually end up doing. But I do think this will be the offseason where Alavila and AJ Hinch's clock really starts as, you know, setting expectations from a fan base standpoint and even in an ownership standpoint from Chris Illich.
We mentioned it to start the show. We spent a little bit of time talking about how this team, after a rough April, is basically a borderline 500 team from May to right now. We have definitely taken steps forward, and seeing the major league team take steps forward and seeing in the minors, you know, Torque and Dingler get promoted to Erie, seeing Riley Green continue to pop off the way that he is, and seeing other prospects that maybe the casual fan might not know their names yet, but I'm talking about guys like Daniel Cabrera and Josh Lester, who are also playing well. It's just, it's getting exciting. Like, I don't want to get too ahead of myself here, because I still really don't have all the faith in the world in the general manager who's running the show, but it is a little bit more exciting right now to be a Tigers fan, and that's great, considering where we were not even a month ago, honestly.
Yeah, I think the criticism's fair on Avila, but do you think it's just sometimes overproported by, like, the fan base? I think it's sometimes just over, like, they overdo it sometimes.
I mean, this rebuild hasn't been fun.
But that's just how MLB rebuilds are. Like,
I know. Yeah. MLB rebuilds are a lot more stressful than basketball and football. I mean, basketball, sure. The Pistons are a great example of how quick you can rebuild a team. And football, I mean,
football is like a year or two.
Yeah, if you get the quarterback and you get a couple pieces around him, offensively and defensively, boom, you're good. And you have to get a really good coach, too. I think that accelerates a football rebuild as well.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's easy, but like, you can figure it out in a year or two.
It's easier than baseball. Baseball 100%. Takes a long, long time. And we've mentioned this with Alavila before. There's been some good and some bad. But to be where we are right now, it's a lot better considering the mindset around this team a month ago. Where it was like, oh boy, they're like 9-24. They're just not playing good baseball.
No, I get the criticism. Like, I'm not like a full Alavila fan like that. I'm not saying that. But like, I understand the criticism. And it is scary too, because we got to remember the one time he had an opportunity to buy and sign guys to longer term deals.
Well,
it didn't go really well for Avila in 2016.
And that's one of my biggest concerns going into this offseason. People are like, oh, Allen needs to spend money. Do you remember the last time he spent money?
No, yeah. I mean, he's going to.
Do you really want to go over those names?
I mean, he's going to have to do it this year, though, I think.
He's got to spend money, but yeah. A little.
That's what I'm saying. It is a bit head scratcher. It's scary a little bit because the last time he did it. But we're at that point in this rebuild where we're going to have to sign somebody and be a cornerstone piece in free agency as well. Because you can't just do this from the farm system. You can't just build from the farm with him.
No,
you hope you to get to... your main core from the farm.
No, every rebuild, regardless of sport, you got to spend a little bit of money. And
you need like one or two, maybe three guys from free agency.
Yeah. Again, the overall point here, and I apologize for not spending as much time on Torkin Dingler as we did on Matt Manning, but we are starting to run out a little bit of time here, and there's one more topic that I want to get into. But to put a bow on everything we've kind of talked about in this episode, it is exciting. It's a lot more exciting to be a Tigers fan right now, whether it's with Manny making his debut tonight, whether it's with Mize and Scooble pitching the way that they are, or it's with Torque and Dingler and Riley Green being together in Erie. It's exciting to be a Tigers fan right now, and considering where we were not even a month ago, it's better. I'll say that. It is a lot better. But to close out the show today, Tyler, before we start recording, you brought up to me that you wanted to spend some time talking about the whole...
Oh, we're doing this.
Oh, yeah. Well, you're very passionate on this topic. I want to give you all the time that you need to air out your thoughts and frustrations on the whole sticky stuff in Major League Baseball. I really don't have a lot of opinions on it. I'm just kind of sitting back and watching as the flames just get higher and higher and and higher, because it's just... It's a lot of flames. I don't think it's a great look for Major League Baseball, but at the same time, I understand what they're doing, and I do applaud them for trying to crack down on cheating, but to do it now is just... Oh. But this, Tyler, it's all yours, man. Just get it all out to close out the show.
Okay, so if you guys don't know what we're talking about right now, it's obviously...
Sticky
stuff that substances that pitchers have been using... And obviously this isn't just like this year, but the numbers of this year's pitching numbers and the, you know, the amount of average and batting averages and everything and hitting statistics have been just completely low this year, and pitching statistics have been completely high this year. There's obviously cheating going on in the big leagues. Like, that's not a secret right now, and obviously the big leagues are trying to crack that down right now. And you said it. The timing of this is just super weird right now. I hate the timing of it, and I hate the way that they're doing it, because it's just going overblown for it. Like, we're banning sunscreen, we're banning sunscreen and rosin together. Like, those guys are using that as grip. And technically, that is considered cheating. But the MLB needs to come to an agreement where they have to find a substance where these guys could grip the baseball better. And if they don't want them, you know, doing that with sunscreen and rosin, you got to make the baseballs better for these pitchers to grip the ball better. So it's hard to choose a side with the pitchers or to choose a side with the MLB, because I think they're both wrong in a certain degree. Guys that are using the spider tech, using pine tar, that is completely illegal and should be illegal. You should not be able to use spider tech and pine tar for pitchers, because the spin rate of that, it just gets absurd at that point where it comes to a wiffle ball at that point. It's just not even... like fair for hitters at that point. But there are some stuff where these guys just need to get better grip, and the timing of it is just super weird, because now this was a rule that the MLB told all the pitchers that they're not going to enforce this year. Just pitch how you've always been pitching, and we'll, you know, think about it in our new CBA agreement and the offseason, which is going to be a complete shit show in this offseason, which
we may or may not have a strike.
And like, it's hard to be excited about the future when, like, we might not have a season next year.
Yeah. I completely forgot about that, too.
So, it's just like, we've seen MLB and the Players Association going back and forth. It's a mess, man. So, the MLB's just got to make this right, and they got to figure out something to make these balls better. Because the way that I'm holding a baseball right now, an MLB baseball right now, and the way that they make these baseballs, they're obviously made in Costa Rica, and then they mud rub them every single game before the game. So it could be an hour before the game, or it could be 6-7 hours before the game. It's all varies. And or some of these balls could be 2 months ago and they're just reusing. They rub the balls with mud, Mississippi mud to be specific. And with mud, if you remember, if you've ever touched mud and, you know, put mud on a baseball, mud gets dry and it's not really much of a grip. So they use mud to get grip on the baseball. But me holding this baseball, not being a big league pitcher by any means, or being a really successful pitcher even in Little League, but there's definitely not the best grip on these baseballs. And if you compare it with even putting some sunscreen, putting a little more sticky, some moisture to it, you definitely get a better grip and you could start to spin the ball more. You could start to, you know, hold the ball a little bit differently. So it's a big difference for sure. So I think the baseball just needs to come up with something where they got to either legalize some type of substance that the pitchers could use, or they got to change these baseballs to make a certain to better grip, you know, so they grip these baseballs better, because it's just going to be really, really tough for, you know, pitchers to adjust completely, and it's just going to cause a lot more injuries. We saw Tyler Glasnow talk about that. So I think it's just going to come to a point where you either got to change the baseballs or you got to legalize some type of substance where these pitchers could grip the ball better. I think changing the baseballs make a lot more sense, because at that point you could have a fair playing ground for pitchers and hitters. Everyone's using the same baseballs, and that's completely fine. Once we start to get into the spider tech and pine tar, that's completely illegal. That should be completely illegal, and no guy should ever use that. And you should get a suspension if you use that stuff, because the spin on that ball is just absurd. So the MLB is going to have to figure out something where they have to come up with a fair playing ground of using either different baseballs or letting pitchers use some type of substance. If that's sunscreen and rosin, I think that's fine. I think outside of sunscreen and rosin, I make everything illegal. I think sunscreen and rosin is the only thing that should be legalized in baseball, because it does give them more grip. And watching other people try out experiments of using sunscreen and rosin and using pine tar and spider tack, the sunscreen and rosin has an effect, but it's not a big effect as, you know, as the other stuff. But I think it's a fair playing ground for all MLB pitchers, and, you know, I think it'd be fair enough for MLB offenses to pick up on that. So I think sunscreen and rosin should not be illegal. I think that should be completely legal, which is obviously right now it's going to start being illegal starting June 21st. So that's the one substance I think should be legalized, and then everything else should be illegal. But like you said, I do applaud MLB baseball stepping in and trying to make a difference and stop the cheating. But I just think it's just too much, and what they're asking these umpires to do and what they're asking these pitchers to do is just absurd, because if you have any substance on your hand, you could be suspended for 10 games without pay, and you have no roster spot, so you're hurting the team as well. So let's just say, for example, like, what if, you know, let's just say Miguel Cabrera hits a home run and he gives a high five to Casey Mize, and Casey Mize picks a little pine tar in his hand. I don't know if that's legalized or illegal, because MLB has not been really transparent about the whole situation in general. So they have to come to a conclusion where they have to be more transparent of what's actually happening and what's legal and what's illegal with the sticky stuff. So it's a really sticky situation, pun intended. And I don't know what MLB does, and it just, it's going to be crazy, man. So we'll see how it ends up playing out the rest of the way.
It's a lot of flames around Major League Baseball right now, especially with this whole sticky stuff situation. And again, like I mentioned, it's tough to side with either side here.
Because you don't want to side with a cheater. Like, if you're cheating the game, that's not fair. Like, no. If you're using the spider tack, the RPM on those balls are just absurd, and it's not fair. But you know, you got to find some type of substance, because the grip on these baseballs aren't great. And like the mud rub thing that they've been using for 200 years, you got to become more, you know, I guess just new to the game, because this stuff is not going to work forever. You know, mud's only going to last you for a good 30 minutes. It'd have to be a fresh mud rub ball. And the process of that happening is just kind of tough to ask for MLB, because mud rubbing baseballs every inning and, you know, making them throughout the whole game, and it's going to come absurd. It wouldn't work out. So they have to come up with a process to probably change these baseballs and find something to legalize as a substance.
I see both sides' arguments. I see Major League Baseball saying, we're not going to have you cheat no more, so we're going to put these guidelines down. I absolutely see that. And then I see the player's side where it's like, okay, if you want to crack down on cheating, that's good, but you're going to do it now? In the middle of the season?
It's so stupid, man. It's so stupid. Like, dude, in spring training, before spring training, so the guys could at least like adjust their game, because now these guys have routines every fifth day, or bullpen guys, they have a routine that they do every single day. You're messing that up now, and it's just, it's not fair to these guys. And when you said you're not going to enforce it before the season, if you didn't say anything, that's fine, because it's already in the rule book. But you clearly said to the pitchers, you gave the memo, and they've said this clearly, that they gave the memo that we're not enforcing the rule. So now to say you're enforcing the rule and you care, it's just really stupid to me.
Yeah, the timing wasn't great. And also, the overall guidelines I didn't think were great either. I mean, Tyler Glasnow, you brought up his name. I watched his full interview after he got hurt, and he mentioned how he went like cold turkey. He didn't use anything for his, like, I don't know if it was his last start or two starts ago, but he went cold turkey, just didn't use anything because of these guidelines. And his words were, I got hurt because of that. So now you're having guys get hurt, more injuries. Like, I just, it's a lot of flames.
Because you got to grip the ball differently, obviously, from when you had the substance and when you didn't have the substance.
No, it's a bad situation.
And they're not being transparent at all, because, like, what if Trevor Bauer made this clear too? Like, what if you put the rosin on your hand, which is legalized, you could put the rosin, you know, the
you're talking about the video?
Yeah, and you have sweat and rosin apparently makes sticky stuff. So like, what if you just sweat? You can't control sweat, and the rosin bag's legal. So what do you do then?
If you
are you is that illegal, or do you get kicked out? Like, what happens?
Yeah, if you don't know what Trevor Bauer video we're talking about, he posted a video a couple days ago, and he was like, is this legal or illegal? And he like panned the camera, and he had a freaking baseball literally sticking from his hand, and he was like, is this legal or illegal? And then he kind of mentioned how it's just as Tyler said, it was just sweat.
It's just rosin and sweat. And rosin's legal.
That's legal. But how are you supposed to know? That's the point I think he was trying to make. And umpires, too, are in a really bad spot.
They are
in a really bad spot. The thing with Casey Mize, that's just... What did they... I get mad at the umpires, but at the same time, it's like, what are they supposed to do, man?
Bauer explained it perfectly. It's like being a cop without a radar gun and just saying you can't use a radar gun anymore. You just have to judge from your eye if you're speeding or not. That's exactly what it is.
It looks like he's speeding. I was going 70. That's the speed limit.
Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, you just got to judge by the eye now. It's just like, and these umpires weren't trained to, like, it's like taking a cop radar right now. A guy that's been trained with a radar his whole life, and now you can't use the cop radar. It's just like umpires. You've never been trained to, you know, for the situation with the sticky stuff before. So, like, now you're just throwing them in a situation like you have to call it. But it's like, what?
I'm rubbing my eyes right now. It's just such a bad situation.
Is this sticky stuff in your eyes?
There's no sticky stuff on my hands. No, I don't have any sweat or sunscreen or rosin or spider tack. We're going cold turkey here, but... Oh, it's just such a bad situation for both sides.
I want to try spider tag. I just want to see. I want to see the spin like I would have. Like, I want to see if I would be a filthy pitch if I had spider tag.
Well, with that, as Tyler says, he wants to try the illegal substance in baseball. I'm going to go ahead and end the program.
You
here.
Can use Gorilla Glue too.
Oh boy, I'm just going to stick to sweat. How about that? I'm just going to use sweat and sunscreen.
Yeah. Did you see the rule too? It's like you can't use sunscreen if the sun's going down, and you can't use it inside
close stadiums, stadium,
which makes sense. But
it does. Like, but at the same time,
it's like you're telling a guy you can't use sunscreen. Yeah. What?
It's so bad.
What if the sunscreen drips? Like I have sunscreen drip. Like when you sweat, like it's on your arm, it comes to your hand. Like, what? It's just not transparent at all.
I don't think Major League Baseball thought this.
They don't really know what they're doing right now.
I don't. Well, I could have told you that years ago, but that's neither here or there.
Oh, my God. This CBA agreement, the off season and the wintertime.
Oh, baseball's in trouble. But
I am not ready.
At least the Tigers have a bright future.
Hopefully we could see the bright future.
Oh, my God.
I'm not ready for this.
Well, with that, goodbye, everyone. Oh, my goodness. Tyler, this is fun as per the usual, even though I'm now stressed out.
With Matt Manning tonight or the CBA agreement or both?
Yes. Yes. I'm not stressed about Torkin, Dingler, and Green and Erie. I'll say that. Not stressed about them. But everything else has me stressed out. But good episode this week, Tyler. For Tyler Sawa, my name is Tony Dombrowski. Thank you for listening. We'll catch you all soon. Go Tigers, baby.